Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Karna. He is about to make his first entry into Kshatriya society at Drona's martial exhibition. Arjuna in this show excels all, and that causes the envy in Duryodhana's heart to burn intolerably. As all the courtiers and citizens are cheering Arjuna, Dhritarashtra is grieving. Why are they not cheering my sons like this? And at that time, as Arjuna is about to be acclaimed as the champion, suddenly the voice of some thunderous footsteps are heard, and the sound of some great warrior slapping his arms and slapping his thighs is heard, and everybody looks at the entrance of the stadium, the arena. At the entrance they see a tall, powerfully built, heroic person standing, and with all eyes riveted upon him, he marches in, and just for the first sight creates within Kunti a special attraction, a special longing, to affection to this person. And then as she beholds him closely, everybody sees the extraordinary earrings that he's wearing, the kundala, and the even more extraordinary armor that he has on his body. That armor seems to be a part of his body itself. Rather than being worn above, it seems to be growing into his body. And everybody is wondering, who is this mysterious person? And what kind of armor is it? But Kunti alone recognizes the significance of it. She understands that this is her son. And her heart jumps out in joy to see that her son is well and has grown into a great warrior. And Karna bows down to Drona and says, I can excel whatever Partha has done. So, do I have the permission to exhibit my skills? Drona nods. And then Karna dazzles everyone with his skills. He equals Arjuna in everything that Arjuna has done. As Duryodhana sees this, his heart blooms with joy. Not joy just to see Karna's talent, but to see Karna as a foil to Arjuna. Karna as his winning card in their perennial battle against the Pandavas. And Duryodhana is scheming, how can I get Karna on my side? And at that time, opportunity presents itself on a platter to him. Karna asks, after he has equaled Arjuna, he asks, can I have a direct duel with Partha? Arjuna is eager. He immediately picks up his bow. He wants to curb the what he feels is the arrogance of Karna. At that time, the question of lineage is asked. The duels can only be among equals. So when Kripa asks this, Karna hangs his head down. And everybody understands that he is not of a royal birth. This is just the opportunity that Duryodhana is wanting. He comes right into the center and he says, look at this warrior. Look at his body, look at his carriage, look at his skill. How can he be not be a Kshatriya? He says, even if he is not born as a Kshatriya, still surely he is a Kshatriya. He says, can a lion be born of a deer? Not possible. He says, he must be a Kshatriya. And if he is not a Kshatriya, then I will make him into a Kshatriya. And right in front of everyone, he says, I will make him the king of Anga. And he calls attendants and asks them to get sacred water. And right in that exhibition arena itself, he anoints Karna as the king of Anga. Karna is overwhelmed by this affection. He feels Duryodhana saved his honor at a moment of dishonor for him. He feels extremely grateful. With tears in his eyes, he turns to Duryodhana and he says, how will I be able to repay you? Duryodhana embraces him. Oh Karna, all I want is your friendship. And Karna is even more touched. Now here he is, an unknown, unknown person of low birth, and not only has been given a kingdom, but he has been accepted as a friend by the heir of the Kuru dynasty. He's overwhelmed and he says, "You will have my friendship forever, throughout my life." And this promise comes to eventually become the cause of the undoing of Karna. But at that moment, when Karna is anointed and then they're ready for a battle, for a duel, suddenly there is a movement. And from the stands, a very old person using a walking stick comes running down, and he comes across the arena and he enters and comes right towards Karna. And Karna immediately gets off his chariot, gets off the throne on which he has been seated for being anointed and coronated as the king of Anga. He gets up and immediately he bows down. And Duryodhana and everyone is looking curiously. And Karna turns toward Duryodhana and he says, "This is my father, Adhirath." His father has been watching from the stands, feeling proud to see the excellence of his son's skills. But when he sees his son being coronated as a king, he can no longer restrain his joy. And Adhirath comes running down to congratulate his son. And Karna doesn't hide his identity. Karna tells everyone. And then seeing this, some of the people start laughing over there. "Oh, he's a Suta's son, how can he fight?" Again, Duryodhana comes to his defense. And he says, "He is a Kshatriya by quality. And whether he can fight or not fight, as the discussion is going on, the sun sets and the situation is left over there undecided." And here the important thing is that Karna feels that Duryodhana has done me a great favor, which is true at one level. But Duryodhana was basically using the opportunity to emotionally manipulate Karna and make him permanently devoted to him. So Duryodhana had his ulterior motives. At this point, Karna may not have had any idea of Duryodhana's ulterior motives. And so he may have accepted out of gratitude. And that is good. But we see how, as the Mahabharata progresses, Karna's character regresses, unfortunately. By the bad association of Duryodhana, Karna starts also not only doing, not only first acceding to bad things, but later on doing bad things, doing evil things, and then eventually even suggesting evil things for Duryodhana to do. So then Karna, time and again, although he's extremely powerful, he is unable to show his prowess at the right time, and he comes off a cropper at various times. For example, when he's when he goes immediately after this to get a dakshina of Drupada's kingdom, he and the Kauravas are defeated, and eventually Arjuna and the Pandavas defeat Drupada. So he's shown to be lower, but still Duryodhana's confidence in him does not waver. Although once, twice, thrice it happens, but still Duryodhana maintains his confidence, keeps his confidence in Karna. Now, after this, Karna becomes a close confidant of Duryodhana and he starts assisting him in all his schemes. So, initially when Shakuni suggests that send the Pandavas to Aranavarta and let them be burnt, so Karna opposes this. Why try such devious things? He challenges them for open fight and defeat them. Shakuni says that no, we will not succeed. They are too powerful. Karna does not agree with the assessment. But Duryodhana, seeing Duryodhana inclined towards Shakuni's plan more, Karna stays silent. And then, again, Karna is more than matched by Arjuna in Draupadi's Swayamvar. And then after that, Bhima, after that, when the Rajasuya yaga is to be performed, at that time, Bhima goes around to conquer the eastern direction. And at that time, he defeats a king named Karna. Now, some people say that this was a different Karna, but actually, Anga is on the eastern direction. And the Mahabharata also mentions that this Karna was a conqueror of kings, and he was defeated after a stiff fight by Bhima. So, because the Mahabharata does not qualify that this Karana is different from some other Karana, so it's not. There are other characters also in the Mahabharata by the name Karna, but because there is one Karana who is prominent, so by default it is understood that whenever the Mahabharata refers to Karana, it is referring to this Karana, and if it is going to refer to some other Karana, it will qualify that. So because it doesn't qualify, so it does appear as if Bhima has defeated Karna. So then, of course, because Karna is a friend of Duryodhana, so Karna is also there with Duryodhana in the Rajasuya Indra sacrifice, and he's also given a significant role there. And then after that, when this is Duryodhana's envy at that, he decides to not only supports but also delights devilishly in Duryodhana and Shakuni's dreadfully evil plan to dispossess the Pandavas. Unfortunately, it is here Karna is often seen as a paragon of virtue, of always honoring one's word, of unfailing friendship. But here we see, yes, Karna had all those virtues, but unfortunately, the bad association of Duryodhana spoiled him so much that here, especially in the assembly, Karna comes out, tainted, severely besmirched by his own misbehavior. So it was Karna who actually suggests that Draupadi be brought in the assembly and disrobed. It is Karna who suggests that Draupadi be told to stay in the servant chambers. And it is Karna who says that Draupadi, having married 5 husbands, is already like a harlot, a prostitute. These are horrible, unmentionable and unforgivable offenses to a chaste woman. And by speaking thus, actually Karna seals his pact with death. And Arjuna takes a vow to that effect also. Karna sneers at the vow. He always feels confident that I'll be able to defeat Arjuna whenever our encounter takes place. Now, if Karna was virtuous, what motivated him to do this? You know, firstly, it was a bad association with Duryodhana. And in that bad association with Duryodhana, Karna's whole, because he was from a lower birth, so he had always a great status anxiety. He always felt insecure. Do people recognize me or not? And often that desire to be recognized by others warped his sense of morality. And his position depended on Duryodhana's favorable disposition. And that's why he needed to do whatever it took to please Duryodhana. And he went out of his way, way, way out of his way. In fact, he went against his own principles also in many ways. When, in order to please Duryodhana, he suggested that let Draupadi be brought in dishonored. Now, Duryodhana had also been a suitor at Draupadi Swayamvar, and he had failed to win her hand. And then, when Karna had also, according to some versions, been not allowed, or in some versions, failed. But either way, he had also not won the hand. So he wanted to take revenge again of that also. The extent to which, of the depravity to which he sank, it was not just the dishonoring of Draupadi, but further the insistence that nothing wrong was happening. That when Vikarna said that Draupadi had not been won, he silenced Vikarna and he opposed him, and he ensured that the grievous misdeeds went on and were not stopped. And even when Vidura tried to stop, he countered Vidura also, chastised him, although he was younger to him. And there, Karna comes out in his worst colors, actually. Now, after this, Duryodhana and Karna are living in Hastinapur. And then there is the ill-fated attempt, which again Karna and Shakuni suggest, and they justify. Let's go and flaunt our wealth before the Pandavas. And before them, let us also show. And in order to get the permission from Dhritarashtra, we can say that we are going there to look at our cowherd and to reward those who are looking after the cows, the cowherd men. So they go there, and there again Karna is defeated, severely wounded by the Gandharvas, and has to flee. And again, Karna is shown to be inferior by inference to Arjuna. The Gandharvas defeat Karna and Arjuna defeats the Gandharvas. So then when Duryodhana, Karna, Dushasana, Shakuni, they all come back at that to Hastinapur, at that time Bhishma, Vidura, Drona, Kripa, they all try to make Duryodhana see good sense, and they say, see, you have relied on Karna so many times, and see, Karna is no match to Arjuna. We were advised not to go to Kamya, and you went and see what happened. Give up your faith in Karna. He is no match to Partha, either in virtue or in skill or in heroism. So Duryodhana does not even pay any heed to Bhishma and walks out. Bhishma is not surprised, but he is disappointed. And then Duryodhana speaks these words to Karna. He is feeling uncomfortable. Duryodhana doesn't want to admit that Karna is inferior to Arjuna, but the facts are coming again and again and confronting him, and he can't avoid that. So he speaks it, and Karna immediately tenses up, picks up his bow, and he says, "Oh, Duryodhana's grandsire repeatedly reviles me. I can tolerate it no longer." He says, "Give me an army and I will conquer the world for you. I will conquer the world for you. And in this way, you can perform a sacrifice like the Rajasuya that was performed by Yudhishthir." So Duryodhana is delighted. He said, "Oh, you indeed are a friend. This is the kind of heroism that Kshatriyas are famed for." And he immediately goes about assembling an army. And at that time, when Bhishma and Vidura hear this plan, they oppose it. They disapprove it, but Dhritarashtra accedes to it, and then they are not pleased with it, but they let go ahead. Maybe Karna will be defeated and his pride will be checked. But then Karna takes an army and he marches off. He goes towards Panchala, and now Drupada, his daughter, has been married to Draupadi, and he knows the Pandavas are virtuous. So he would pay tribute to Yudhishthir, but not to Duryodhana. So he refuses. And there's a stiff fight, and Karna, now fired by his determination and aided by the massive army that Duryodhana has provided him, slowly but surely overpowers Drupada. And when Drupada is defeated, at that time finally he agrees to come for Duryodhana's sacrifice and to offer tribute. And then Karna goes to the, after he goes to the north, then he goes to the east, Trigartas, Kekayas, and various kings he meets. And he fights with all of them, grinds them slowly and surely, and defeats them. And after one full year of campaign, he has conquered all the four directions. And he comes back, he brings a huge quantity of tributes. And he comes, and Duryodhana is out waiting to welcome him and embrace him. He says, Duryodhana tells him that, "Oh, what Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, none of them could do for me, you have done for me, Karna, you are my closest friend, proud of you." And Karna comes in and he informs of how now Dhritarashtra is the conqueror of the world, and he offers a respect to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra picks him up and embraces him, and from that day Dhritarashtra feels like Karna is like his own son. And then Duryodhana decides to perform a Rajasuya, but then the Brahmins come and tell that the Rajasuya cannot be performed by anyone else as long as Yudhishthir is alive. Now, at one time on the earth, only one king who is performed the Rajasuya can be living. So then Duryodhana is disappointed. But the Brahmanas are also intelligent, and seeing Duryodhana's desire and wanting to engage him in dharma, they suggest that, "But you can do the Vaishnava sacrifice. This is a sacrifice which is always equivalent to Rajasuya, and it actually has not been performed by anyone except Lord Vishnu himself till now." Duryodhana is pleased, and then he makes lavish arrangements for the sacrifices, and kings from all over the world come, and magnificent sacrifices performed, and all the Kuru citizens attended sacrifice, and Duryodhana is extremely proud of it, and many citizens glorify Duryodhana. But there are some bold citizens who say, "But this sacrifice is no match Yudhishthira's Rajasuya, which is far grander. Duryodhana hears this but remains silent. You know, he doesn't want to accept that fact, but he can't deny it. And his face twists in dismay. And Karna has also heard these words being spoken. And when he sees Karna, Duryodhana feeling dismayed, he picks up his bow and he says, "Oh friend, listen to me," he says. "As I take this vow," he says, "till the day I kill Arjuna," he says, "I will not eat luxurious food, nor will I refuse anyone in charity, and I will avoid comforts. I take this as a vow." So basically, Yajnadana Tapa, he says, he will do as a some forms of Yajnadana Tapa as a austerity, as a method of as a vrata, till he takes a vow to kill Arjuna and thereby glorify Duryodhana. Duryodhana is very pleased by this. And overall, the relationship between Duryodhana and Karna becomes sealed very strongly by this incident. And then, after this, towards the end of the 13th year, the Pandavas are in Ajnatavas, and we know how Karna and Duryodhana and the whole Kuru army goes to Virat, and there Arjuna single-handedly defeats all the Kauravas, including Karna. Karna, whenever he hears that incident, it rankles his heart, rankles his heart. Why? Because he thinks, if only I had taken my Shakti Astra at that time, I would have killed Arjuna and I would have proven to the world my superiority over Arjuna. But that didn't happen. Now, actually, before this incident, and towards the 12th year of the exile, this incident of Karna getting the Shakti Astra happens. So, now knowing that the war is inevitable, and so Arjuna's father Indra thinks of ways of doing good for his son. And he knows that as long as Karna has a kavacha, he may get wounded, but he cannot be killed. So, desiring to do good, he plans to approach Karna. Now, Karna has taken a vow that he will never refuse charity to anyone who comes to him and asking for charity. So, knowing this vow, he decides that he will ask him for the charity of his kavacha. So, now the devatas, they all have the mystic powers, and Surya, who is the father of Karna, senses this. And he immediately comes to Karna. Now, Karna would daily worship Surya Dev. This was as Aradhya Dev. He did not know, but from his childhood, he felt a great attraction to the sun god, and he would worship him. So, one day when he was worshipping him, and then it was like a dream-like vision when he heard a voice and saw an effulgent personality, he said, "In the future, a Brahmana will come to you, and that Brahmana will ask you for your kavacha and kundal." He says, "Do not give them, because giving them will be your death. As long as you have them, you will not die." And he said, "I speak these words only for your benefit." So Karna is amazed, and he, with folded hands, he asks. It's almost like a dream, but it's real also. He knows that this is happening, but it's so extraordinary what is happening. He asks, "Who are you, oh effulgent one, who are so concerned for my well-being?" He says, "I am the god of light, sun god." Karna is delighted. The Lord whom he has been worshipping for so long, he has graced him with his presence and his guidance, and yet he feels torn in his heart. And he says, "So I am most grateful to you that you have graced me with your presence and guidance. And yet," he says, "for me, I cannot follow your words. For me, my honor is my everything. I would rather die than lose my honor. I have taken a vow that I will always never refuse anyone who comes to me for charity. How can I refuse this Brahmana if he comes and asks me for charity of this?" He says, "I am grateful to you for your advice, but I cannot follow it. Please be gracious to me and let me do as I desire." So now Surya, he knew the mind of Karna, and he knew this, he expected this response, and Karna had prepared, and Surya had prepared a plan B also. So he told Karna, it is best if you keep your kavacha. But seeing that Karna was adamant, he said, if at all you have to give your kavacha, then you should ask for something else in return. And then he revealed something else. Then actually Suryadeva had earlier also revealed that it will be Indra who will be coming. And Karna thinks, for him, honors everything. He says that he sees this as an opportunity, great, great honor. He sees that, he thinks that normally I can give blessing, I can give charity to human beings on the earth. But how can, what opportunity that I can give charity to a god? Normally the gods, humans go to the gods and seek blessings from them. So if a god comes to a human being and asks for blessings, and a human being gives the blessings, then what greater fame can a human being get? He feels that I cannot let such an opportunity for fame go by. And therefore, he decides that, he determined, I will give charity. So at that time, Surya tells him, okay, then you should, if you have to give your kavacha, then ask him for his Shakti Astra. That will ensure that you will be able to kill your opponent. Surya disappears saying this. Karna folds his hands, thanks Surya, and then awaits the moment when this momentous meeting will take place. Eventually, that day happens. After completing his worship in the river, where he offers prayers to the sun god while standing in the river with hands upraised, he turns around. At that time, whoever Brahmanas are there, Karna gives charity to them. So at that time, he sees an effulgent looking Brahmana and he senses something divine, something special about this Brahmana. And then, Oksaro, what can I give for you? He says, first, you should give me a word that you will give me whatever I ask of you. Immediately, Karna starts intuiting, this must be Indra. And then he says, yes, but I have already given my word that I will always give charity to whoever asks. He says, yes, but I want your specific word, because what I'm going to ask you from you is very difficult. So then he says, yes, I will give. He says, give me your kavach and kundala. And he says, oh Brahmana, what will you do with this kavach and kundala? No, they are useless. He says, I can give you wealth, I can give you cows, I can give you more charity than what you will need throughout your life. Now Karna has immediately understood this Indra, but he's just playing along over here. And he says, no, I do not want any of these things. I want only your kavacha. So at that time Karna becomes grave and he says, oh Brahmana, you know that I will not refuse your charity. But this kavacha is a part of my body. And cutting this kavacha and giving it to you will spell my death. He says, what you are asking for me, from me, is my life. And that is why I am offering you alternatives. The Brahmana remains grim and he says, you have promised to give me whatever I asked for. And Karna now decides to remove the mask. He says, oh, I know who you are. You are the god of the gods. You are the king of the gods. You are Indra. And he says, I know why you have come to ask me. You have come to do good for your son Arjuna. And normally it is the gods who should give me give humans blessings. But you are asking me something that will cost me my life. If you at all you must take it, then you must give me something in return. And then he says, give me your Shakti weapon. So now Indra becomes thoughtful and he says that yes, when this I discharge the Shakti weapon, it can kill thousands of my enemies. I'll give it to you, but with one condition, it will be able to kill one of your enemies, and after that, it will come back to me. Karna is unfazed. He says, there is only one person whom I want to kill. Indra says, I know whom you want to kill, but that person is protected by a high souled one, and he cannot be killed. Karna says, be that as will be, please give me your weapon. So then Indra says, yes, I will give it to you as soon as you give me your kavacha. And then Karna asks another blessing. He says, you know, as I cut my kavacha, I beseech you that let me not become disfigured by it. because I'll have to cut from my own body. Indra says, yes, because you are doing such exceptional charity, therefore you will not be disfigured. And then Karna takes a knife and starts cutting off the kavacha and the kundal and the kavacha. And as he cuts off, you know, blood starts coming from his body. And seeing that he's giving such a difficult charity, cutting his practically his own flesh, oh, there are the devtas shower flowers and cheering sounds are heard. And as he gives the kundala, kavacha and kundala with, drip, with blood dripping from it, blood dripping from his body, Indra smiles and he gives him the Shakti Astra. And as he gives the Shakti Astra, as there's a contact with Indra and Karna, Karna's body is restored to its former beauty. And then Karna sees in front of his eyes that Indra has disappeared. So in this way, Karna gives this extraordinary charity in which he gives his own kavacha. Now of course, now some people may say that Indra cheated him this way. But actually it was not exactly cheating. Because, and it was it actually a very great charity? Yes, it was definitely a great charity. But then for him, he converted the charity into a swap. So that kavacha would not have guaranteed him victory. It would have only guaranteed him protection from death. But he got a weapon which could have guaranteed him victory. So certainly it was not a completely disastrous loss. It was a loss in one sense, but it was also a gain in one sense. And this gain could have proved fatal for Arjuna, but how Krishna intervened and protected Arjuna from Karana Shakti, we will discuss in our future sessions. Thank you. Hare Krishna.